A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good morning. Good Valentine's morning, that is. Today's probably a pretty stressful, busy day for, I would imagine, those who are florists or make deliveries, as would envision there are probably many things going on with that. Roses and chocolates and all the things. So I chose to take my bride to the Waffle House. So that's what we usually do on Fridays. So happy Valentine's, babe. It was good breakfast. The week is kind of wound down, I don't know how you would say that. And so here we are at Friday. You know, we got to watch Owen Lake play his basketball game yesterday evening. And right at the end, like with a second left, the other team ties the ball game. So we went into overtime for 7 and 8 year olds. Yeah, the place was hopping, right? It was a good time just to see kind of, you know, with the kids' reactions. And of course, it's always amazing to see the parents and how they become the coaches in the stands. And I have to say I've been guilty of getting excited myself. But a lot of yelling and screaming, you know. Normally those people probably may be quiet, but I guess the game brings out the ferocious animal, maybe. Anyway, yeah, that's always interesting to see, you know, the guys with the black and white striped shirts are usually wrong in what they do. So those guys probably need like some popcorn or something after the game. I don't know. But had a good time just kind of watching him. I think Owen Lake was doing more dancing than playing basketball. He likes to kind of do his thing. But so here we are. It's Friday, and I'd have to say overall it's been a pretty good week. Can't complain. Had some things to get done, and going to work a little bit this afternoon as well. But just wanted to get on here and share from the book of James. I know we would conclude here in James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So maybe the question for us as we consider those verses is, are we peacemakers, or, to be just real plain, troublemakers? You know, there's always times that you could probably look back in life, and especially even more so when you were a child, just kind of going along the lines of what I had said the other day about lunch, is I remember there are occasions growing up where there appeared as though there were kids that you would classify them as troublemakers. You know, they they would continually get in trouble. Maybe you were one. I know there were occasions where I got out of line, but then I was quickly corrected. But I do remember as a child one instance. I think it was in elementary school, but I do remember this, that there was a child that was there in the class, and of course he was acting out, and there was a history of his behavior. And I remember the teacher basically telling him, she said, you will not win this. You know, he was wanting to, because of his actions and his previous behavior, he was going to get in trouble, and he was just, he had a pattern there. And she told him, she's like, you're not going to win. This is not going to be in your favor. I would imagine that, I don't even think that we would look at how things happen. Maybe, you know, we move into adulthood and there are things in which we see. I don't know if we would classify that as what the teacher was saying to that young man as now, that you're going to win. I think more so, if you hearken to the wisdom of the world, is what James is describing. If you are led in your actions by what you find or you think may be true, to react from the mentality that's directed away from Scripture and not led by God's word. I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say that it's a winning. I would most definitely say it's a tragic event that occurs when we're led astray by some mentality that is grounded in lies. I mean, James is very clear when he says what he says in verse 15, James chapter 3. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and he says demonic. You know, and of course, for those who do not believe in the word of God and are not led by biblical truth, then they would say, man, you just place judgment upon this earth and the way things are, and how, you know, it is natural that, you know, I'm not being swayed or twisted by some theological principle, you know, or some religion is how some people would even classify the Bible. But the significance for this understanding that James is revealing to us in this passage is very imperative. And, you know, it probably could be compared to a fork in the road. That if you so choose to act in this way that does appear earthly, natural, well, then we know who rules right now in the flesh. We know that right now we're still sinful creatures because we're not perfect, nor will we be until we meet Jesus face to face as we pass or when he comes back. So therefore, in the meantime, there is a struggle within, as Paul describes. So there's a battle. James talks about the temptation and the things that are set before us as far as how we either are good stewards of what God has granted us to be over, or we abuse those things and place them above him. And that, again, could come to some, you know, complex thought to where we, you know, decipher all of that. But I what I mean by this is that, like, we could say that because God has granted us to function and to think and to process, you know, that there's a practical way in which we look at things and maybe we filter things. But if we are stating that we're a believer and we desire to be led in a way that's fully dependent upon God's word, then there is a difference. Excuse me. There is a place of reckoning. And maybe a pause. And not so quick to be reactive. You know, it's cliche, a knee-jerk reaction. And so what James is implying is that, you know, if we think that there's anything good out of the wisdom that is here on this earth, and he describes it in the previous verse, in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So that's the wisdom of the world. Bitterness, jealousy, arrogance. That's the way in which people can operate. Tragically, it's also happened in our churches. It's unfortunate. I think that I have referenced this in the past, is that even seeing it at a young age, you know, man's heart can be an ocean in the depths, layers of sin, just the way in which we sometimes contemplate or even scheme upon things. And again, I think that's the reason why God gives us his word, is because we're drawn over and over, or not drawn over and over, but it's almost like a boomerang. It's thrown, and we keep coming back to these habits, if you will. Notice again what James says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Man, you know, how true is that? If you watch the news right now, I don't know how many of you have watched it, but man, there's some chaos in our government, right? There's probably some jealousy and selfish ambition there. And how can we not say that our culture is so impacted in such a way that this also, it's like a slow leak. You know, you ever had a slow leak in under your kitchen sink? You don't really notice it until you got to get something from underneath the cabinet, and then you feel that the shelfing is kind of damp, and then you wonder, like, well, how did that happen? Or maybe you don't even think about it until it starts coming out to the floor. It's a slow leak, and eventually it causes damage if it's not addressed. And I think that's the slow leak that's in our churches. I think there is rampant jealousy. I think there is rampant selfish ambition. And the reason why things are disorderly is because this is, as James says, it's evil. And we have to guard against that. Those are the hard conversations that we don't want to have. I think sometimes it's more of just, you know, a tolerance instead of actually getting to the root of the problem. And again, I mean, that's, and I'm not sitting here saying that I am a perfect preacher. My heart is just as evil as anybody's, right? I said this in Sunday school the other day. If you get in a, if you ever been in a group of people where you're praying and everybody goes around the room and, you know, they're praying and you've got your eyes closed and your head bowed. And I can honestly sit here and say that sometimes my mind has wandered. Like, what's for dinner? Like, why is he or she praying what they're praying? Can they hurry it up? I mean, there's, yeah, I'm confessing that to you, and that's just the real truth of it. We don't want to talk about that because that's what's, and this is another thing, is if our thoughts were broadcast on a big screen in live, right? We're so live right now with everything else. If our thoughts were broadcast, we'd probably run for the hills. I've said that before. Because there is, there's jealousy, there's selfish ambition. That's just our hearts. They have to call it what it is. Call a spade a spade. And then just because of where we're at now as a people, it doesn't mean that we've surpassed those tendencies. I think that's the other problem that we have. Well, we've got all these other things that are available to us, so therefore we've graduated and we've arrived to a different thought process to where now we're not impacted by this sin. That's deception. And I think the devil's done a very good job of that. And so here we are. And like I said, I think it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy of how that takes over and it takes root. It runs rampant in our churches. And then we wonder why there is disorder. But James is saying, instead of these tendencies, instead of these things, he says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what is it that you're making? You know, and I think that's the other part of it too, is like there's ways in which things are so complicated. And I think we overcomplicate what the Bible is stating. Just let it say what it says. What is it that you're making? Is there peace or is there disunity and evilness? And the fruits that James describes earlier by the tongue, when we talked about that, he says in verse 11 of chapter 3, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. It's pretty cut and dry. I know we don't really like that. There has to be more length to it, right? More depth than that. But I think that's the thing about God's word. It is very direct. It's either you are or you're not. And this, and we would say, well, it's not just as simple as that. There's other issues. Yeah, the issue is your heart. And we've described that in the past. My heart. God, protect me from jealousy. God, remove my selfish ambition. I think it's probably a daily prayer that I'm not so caught up with everything that I think is right. Let this be guided wholly and truly by your word for my life. God, let this be a watering in my soul, in my heart, that basically moves within this soil and produces something that's glorifies you. Because if it's the other way in which we're responding, if it's not anything else, if we're not receiving biblical truth within our minds and we're not taking it in personally, then we're taking in something else. And that's just is what it is, for lack of better words. I feel that sometimes we overcomplicate it. I'm going to say that one more time. We can overcomplicate these things. You know, Jesus was real, and he was to the point. I think we get away from that. I think that we want to give in to other thoughts. So again, the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know, I mentioned the wind chimes the other day. And as the wind blows, so they carry a tune, if you will. I don't think that's the way it is for a Christian's life. I think the wind blows, and the tune that he resembles is what God has implanted in his heart, her heart. May you be guided by scriptural truth. May you be founded upon biblical principle, so that you will be unwavering when the winds blow. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking with you again.